I have fond memories of the years that I went to a playgroup every week, every Tuesday, actually, in Orono, Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities, and especially one on the way home when Edna, the lady that ran the playgroup, she stopped the van real abruptly and said, "It's huge and has big claws." What do you think it was? Huge with big claws. Can you imagine what it might be? Well, this is Stories and Stuff, and I'm Joy Bubbles in Minneapolis, your storyteller. Yeah, it started, I guess, back in 1989. Every Tuesday morning, Edna, that owned the house in Orono and ran the playgroup, would come and pick me up, me being an eternal child of 5 years old forever and everything. And she loved to have kids coming there that were rambunctious and noisy and all that kind of stuff where they couldn't be at other places. She had a play haven at her house. And she always loved surprises, too. One day, she had told us to wear our swimsuits. Well, she had clued the parents into to what it was, what the surprise was. But we didn't know. We went down to the biggest playroom that she had in the basement. She had about four. And this big one, and everything was empty in there. Nothing. And we sat on the floor. And then the kids were given water, all kinds of cans and cups and things, and we were to spill water on the floor for a while. And after the kids had never really got to spill water like that, and then there was bottles of dish soap, and we passed it around and all squeezed dish soap onto the floor. It turned out, and she poured more water and more dish soap, it turned out it was a great soap slide. And it was like bumper cars. We were all kind of sitting around and just trying to move a little bit. You could just move a little bit. It was amazing slicky like that on that smooth floor. And there was one little girl that would kind of, just for fun, try to stand up and kick her feet on the floor, and she'd kind of fall down and laugh and get up again. And somebody was sliding in it, zoom, you know, and they bumped into me and sort of bounced off and slid the other way and all kinds of stuff. And I was spinning around and around, you know, and I was getting dizzy, so I spun some more to get a little dizzier. And you could just, it was amazing how slick it was. And so she was saying, "I think maybe it's drying up. We're going to have to pour a little more water and some more dish soap in here." Can you imagine how soapy we all were at the end? I mean, I took a shower, but there was still about as much soap as, you know, on me as when I got home because, you know, there was other people waiting. When I got in the bathtub at home, I think mainly, well, let's just say I didn't need any soap. I already had it. It made the water pretty bubbly, just me getting in. And then there was another day when Edna surprised us. Into one of the playrooms, there was four big twin beds in there with really thick, springy mattresses. And she got into a voice and an expression that she had never had before. "Now, children, be very quiet and listen," she said in a very strange voice. We kind of knew something unusual was about to happen, but, you know, these beds are very expensive, and there's rules for these beds. "Now listen, children," and she had this voice that she had never used, "I'll tell you the rules for these beds. Do you know about rules?" And the kids suddenly were very sad. All the good times they had, but now it was going to be rules. "Do you know about rules?" And the kid said, "Yes," very somberly and sad. "I'll tell you the rules." And she jumped up and started smiling, said, "These beds are for jumping. Let the jumping begin." And the kids were so surprised, it was like about a second of silence. But within less than a second, the beds, all four of them, were being vigorously jumped on. And it was loud. And I think every week after that, there was always some kids in that room, in the room, jumping on those beds. And they'd make bridges back and forth between the beds with cushions and walk across the bridge kind of real high up. And she had cushions on the floor, too, so if you fell off the beds, you know, you'd just sort of bounce a little bit. But, boy, there was a lot of jumping. Well, one Tuesday afternoon, when Edna was bringing me home, suddenly stopped the van and said, "Huge! And, oh, it's huge and has big claws!" And I barely understood her at first. Huge and had big claws. And then I remembered what it was. There had been a report in the paper, a western suburb, which we were in at that time, coming back from Orono, a western suburb that was a puma loose, or a panther, and or a mountain lion, or a catamount. They're all the same animal. There's all these different names for it. But a puma, I think. Anyway, oh my gosh, what was she doing? And she stopped the van and said it was huge and big claws, and she jumped out. Was she going to catch the thing or what, you know? Well, I figured she'd be back in a minute or two after she, like, caught it or looked at it, or maybe it just would, like, get away. Those things are fast, I think, but they can kill an adult, those big, huge cat-like things, wild and everything. And no, why in the heck? And she even was, like, so in a hurry that she left the door open so this thing, after it got her, could get me, too, next. Well, I waited for her to come back, and she didn't. And the more I thought about that beast, the scareder and sadder I got, because I remember that those things can grab you by the neck, and they shake your neck so fast that you can't even scream. You know, you die or something. And maybe Edna was out there even as I was sitting there in the van, bleeding, lying, crying, dying, while the cat was, like, dragging her off somewhere or something. And I didn't know what to do. I closed the door of the van and said, "She'll be here in a minute," you know, and I waited some more, what seemed like an eternity. And finally I decided, well, I better roll up the windows, too. Maybe that thing could stick its head in there and bite me or something. I don't know what they do, or crawl in. I'm not sure how they... Anyway, after a while, I wanted to cry, so I did. Edna, where did you go? Why did you jump out like that? Couldn't you have just gone and called animal control or something at a payphone? That was kind of before we had cell phones much, back in the early 90s. And Edna, why did you jump out like that and go get that dangerous thing? Where are you? But she didn't come. I kind of sat there and feeling sorry for myself, that wondering what to do, too. Do I blow the horn and alert somebody, or would that scare the cat? Maybe it was creeping up on her, and she was being real quiet, hoping it would go away or something. Maybe she was still alive out there, and the horn would make the cat spring on her and eat her. But if I'm quiet, you know, maybe she needed help, and she was bleeding out there. Edna, where did you go? What's wrong, Edna? You know, and so it was forever, or 10 minutes, whichever comes first. And I wrapped up in a blanket. Maybe the cat, you know, if it didn't see me directly, wouldn't come and, you know, could they break in? I locked the doors. I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I don't think a panther could open a door unlocked or not. But you don't think when you're scared. Finally, after what seemed like a year or two, there was a knock on the van door. I wonder who that is. Is that the police telling me Edna's dead? "Joy Bubbles, you locked the door!" And she was starting to say something, and, "Oh, it's so huge, it's just one of," you know, saying something, and I couldn't even understand her, and she started babbling. She got in, I opened the door, and she got in and started babbling about something, and it was unintelligible almost. And then she said, "Oh, it's just huge. It's just such a wonderful, good, big bathtub." And I don't know what she was talking about. A bathtub? I couldn't even understand her. I was so stricken, so glad to see her. And I leaned against her, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, what happened?" And I leaned against her and told her about the cat and started crying even harder. I didn't know, you know, bathtub. What? And then bathtub. Oh, she loves those clawfoot bathtubs, the old kind with the... Oh, Edna, were you actually out there looking at a bathtub? "Well, yes, honey, it's huge and wonderful." "Oh, my God, I thought you were eaten by a puma or what." And I told her the whole thing, and we both started laughing and crying at the same time and held each other and hugged. And finally I said, well, I guess I want to get out and see those big claws that scared me so bad. I somehow don't think they're all that dangerous, being that they're probably cast iron or something. That tub was wider than mine is long at home. And I don't even know how long the tub was. But anyway, she said, we got some friends are coming. I'd already called them. The lady said she'd give it to me if I just got her a new planter and replanted the plants carefully. And so some of my best plant friends are coming, and we're all going to do that. And so it made me feel a little better to dig in the dirt with about six or seven other plant lovers that came and had brought a big fiberglass planter. And it wasn't long before all of her plants were all snug and blessed and talked to, and I even sung a song to them. And but I still thought about those big claws. They were so big and heavy, I don't think they could move to get anybody. It took a bunch of us to lift that tub into the back of the van and slide it up with a little ramp we made. We barely made it to the refurbisher. It wasn't but a few weeks longer later, he said, oh, I got this thing looking as good as new with, you know, some polishing and all that, those big cast iron tubs. It's really, really thick cast iron. She even had an inspector inspect the floor to make sure that it was okay in her house. And she called me and said, you know, I've hooked it up and tested it, but nobody's been actually in the tub yet. I'd like to, if you want to, we can pick you up in the morning, and you could be the very first one to take a bath in it. I kind of want to make it up to you, all that, you know, the what happened in the car. You don't remember anything about those waiting for me and everything, do you? And I kind of laughed. Oh, I forgot. It was just a little thing. I wasn't really too scared. But anyway, and I said, I think they were only fake tears. No, actually, I went over to her house, and she said she'd be back in 2 hours. She went downstairs to write a grant and left me with the bathtub full of herbs and essences and nice warm water and four big boxes of bath toys that I could choose from and play with, and various, at that time, cassettes with perfect music if I wanted for taking a bath, sea peace, and these kind of singing songs with water and birds and stuff. And so in just a few minutes, she was back. And I said, gosh, so early? And she said, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot about you. I got into the grant. And I said, well, you came so soon. And she said, you know, it's been 3 hours, and it's supposed to be two. And no, it can't be 3 hours. But it was. It's funny how, you know, the time with when I was waiting in the van was so long, and maybe it was 10 minutes, and the 3 hours in the tub was so short. It was, you know, so much time. They call that kairos. It's like the time that just flows and you don't even know it. And chronos is the time on the clock. And I always kind of wondered what really was the difference. But I think those two times is when I learned the difference between chronos time, was like when I was in the van and every second counted, and the 3 hours, it seemed like just a few minutes when I was in the tub with all those special energies and herbs and the blessings she gave to the water and all of that stuff. The first one to take a bath in that big tub. Well, I'll always remember the playgroup, the beds and the soap slides and kids like Jennifer and Zach and Sherilyn and the huge and big claws, the time I cried. Well, next time there'll be another story, and take time to play. Take care of each other, and stay strong. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone.